to be able to share the word with you. I just have a few things God has placed in my heart that I want to just deliver to you today. I'm a firm believer in teaching of God's love, his patience, and his restoration of his people. However, today I want to leave you a thought that's been dwelling with me for several months now. It's called The Reflection That I See. So if you open up your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians 13 and 12, we'll go ahead and get started with the message this morning. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you know how nervous I am right now. Lord God, I just ask you to be with me right now. Allow me to deliver the message that you have given to me, dear Father. Lord God, allow me to do it the way that you have given it to me. Allow it to touch their hearts and fill their minds, dear Father. Allow them to walk out of here thinking about that thought this morning, dear Father. Lord God, I just want to thank you and ask you to be with me this morning. In your son's holy name, amen. So in 1 Corinthians 13 and 12, it says, "For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known." Here Paul gives us a little insight of the future as he explained to us that how we see ourselves in the mirror is not a complete image. However, the day that we see our Savior face to face, then we will see ourselves in his completeness. God demonstrated this to me this past week. I had the unfortunate opportunity of separating one of my sailors. I separate maybe about 20 sailors a year. But this guy was meant a lot to me because he was one of mine. I was able to see things in him that he couldn't see in himself. You know, I was able to see where he was strong at. I was able to see where he was weak at. I was able to put him in places where he can thrive and be a better sailor. And God said, that's how he deals with us. He puts us in places where he wants us to be. He sees in us things that we can't see in ourselves. So I remember a conversation that me and him had a couple of months ago when he said, you know, why do you put so much effort in me? I was a failure before I came in the Navy. I'm a failure. Now I'm in the Navy. And I'm sure I'm going to be a failure when I get out. But God doesn't allow us to be failures. He only gives you as much as you can bear. Bear with me. I'm going to say we got some jitters. Throughout the day, we all pass some type of reflection of ourselves. Whether it's a reflection of a car window, your reflection in the water when you're fishing, the reflection in the mirror. When you look into that reflection, some just look at the mirror image that's looking at them. Is my hair still in place? Is my makeup on right? Some of us look a little deeper and look at our past hurts, our shortcomings, and our failures. Some cannot get beyond something they've done in the past, whether it's good or bad. I used to have that problem. I used to live in, you know, what I should have, could have been. You know, I could have, I was a rising star in football. You know, I got drafted by Florida State. I was like, yes, I got injured. Well, I could have. Can't get past our past. I remember that image that we see is not a complete image. It's kind of like looking at a silhouette. There's no colors. There's no depth. Just a flat image of something there. We have an idea of what is there, but we do not see the true image until it is actually in front of our face. The image that we see in ourselves or in our lives are not the same images that God sees in us. And as Christians, it is by His grace that we overcome these images and focus on His love that He has placed within each and every one of us. However, until we are able to overcome these images, we often masquerade around in masks, hoping that nobody can see the images inside that we see. We wear these masks at different places for different purposes. Some of you may remember the movie The Mask with Jim Carrey. In this movie, Jim had a lot of shortfalls. He felt he was a nerd. He couldn't do this. He couldn't do that. But he put on that mask. Boy, he was the life of the party. Everybody wanted to be around him then. And many of us in our lives are all the same way. We place on these masks in the different lives that we're in just to hide who we really are inside. Just like in a movie, sometimes we get so comfortable with the mask that it eventually takes over our lives. Today I want to talk about three places we often wear our mask at. Pretty much those three places is the everyday life, at church, at home, and in our community. For many of us, it's easier to put this mask on at church than anywhere else. This mask allows us to change into the person you believe others want to see. We show up on Sunday, pay our tithes, we allow someone to pray for our little things that's going on in our lives, but we won't pray for the real issues that haunt us each day inside. We seem to forget who we are and a purpose God has given to us. As Christians, the day that we repented and asked Jesus into our lives, we became new creatures and sons and daughters to God. As sons and daughters to God, we became His heirs and we inherited everything good God has created. As Christians, our purpose is to glorify God, to be fishers of men, and to be the light of the world. In Matthew 4:19, it says, "Then he said to them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And also it says in Matthew, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." If we live life for Christ and follow His word, we will glow like a light, showing others what Christ is like. If we practice Christ's teachings and share the gospel with others, we will be able to draw those around us to Christ, like a fisherman draws fish to his net. With summer here, many of us use those little fluorescent lights. You know that the bug comes. As Christians, we have to be that same kind of light, except we're not. Instead of killing them, we need to lead them to Christ where they can have everlasting life. I like to have that kind of zap. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says, "For we were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Here Paul is saying we were bought at a price. Refers to slave purchase of auction. Christ's death freed us from sin, but also obligated to us to His service. Often, you will hear non-believers say they couldn't be a slave to our God. What they don't understand is, no, they're not a slave to our God, but they are still a slave to Satan. But way back in Calvary, Jesus paid their price to give us the opportunity to choose whether we want to serve God or if we want to serve man. Sometimes we forget this and allow sin to slowly creep in when we are being quiet, when we should be speaking out, going along with the crowds, denying his light, allowing sin to dim our light, not explaining our God to others, and ignoring the needs of others. When wearing this mask, sometimes we find ourselves becoming imitators, frauds, fakes. You don't know who you are, so you try to become someone else. We allow ourselves to put on a facade of something that we are not, although this isn't always a deliberate act. It is a deliberate attack from Satan. I have found myself in that same situation. Some of you may have heard my story before. You know, we didn't come to this church intentionally. But God specifically brought us here. We left We left Florida unwillingly. That is where my family, as my family got started, that's where we found Christ at. And that's also where I received the strength to get in front of people to be able to minister. And then God said, okay, it's time, your time's up here. You got to go somewhere else. And he said, that place right there, Pax River, Maryland. I didn't know nothing about this place other than it was a bunch of woods. And I was terrified. Me and my wife drove up here. We drove through here. And we just kept driving. We seen one Walmart, a small one, at the time. Was that it? At the time? All the other stores were so small, we just passed by them as well. And but we didn't want to come here. You know, and this church was kind of found on accident as well. Because I sat there and I prayed, God, I need to find somewhere where I can grow as a minister. I know this is my calling in life, so where am I going to go? Some of our friends from Florida was like, yeah, I grew up here. There's a church right there. My other friends, yeah, they got an internet or a website. Try them out. So I got on the website. Okay. Sounds pretty good. Let me go send him an email. Hey, how you doing? This is Mr. T. I'm coming up here looking for a church. If you're interested, email me back. I got a message from Tim. Hey, we can't wait to see you. Come on down. Da-da-da-da-da. Made me feel welcome right away. We went to church, the next week we got here? Awesome. And this man came up to the podium, and he delivered this message that just captivated me. And I was like, wow, who is that? I am Pastor Lanny. And he talks like that all the time. It's awesome. The kind of person that I wanted to become. The way he was able just to draw the crowd and have them hanging on his every word was just, wow. That was the first time I ever seen anybody like that in person. I've seen him on TV, but in person. So I wanted to be just like him. So I worked at it. Worked on my posture. The way I carried my voice. First, I worked on it with the kids. Get over there. But I found myself trying to become too much like Lanny instead of being myself. See, God called everybody sent here for a purpose. You got to be the person that God wants you to be. He didn't ask me to be the little Lanny. He wanted me to be the T. That's why he sent me through the stuff I went through in my life, my struggles, my trials, to become the better me that I can be. Now, if I was trying to be a Lanny, I'd be a poor shell of a Lanny. Because with that shell, I couldn't fit in it because I wouldn't have any depth, no meaning in my life. But in this shell that I'm in, there's a lot of purpose. And there is a meaning behind my life. See, I've always had the words in my heart, but I didn't always know how to express them. So God brought me here to train me. Yeah, she probably will come up here and help me. This is something I done struggled with. Getting in front of people is something I've struggled with since I was a little guy. I remember in Cub Scout, I had to come and get ready to cross the bridge, and I just froze. I seen all the people looking at me, and I'm just, all I got to do is cross over this little bridge and say my little oath, and I'm good to go. I got to the bridge, seen everybody looking, I just stood. But God is working that out with me. He's helping me to grow and allowing me to be able to speak better, to be more comfortable up in front of people. I'm becoming the man that he wants me to be. That's when I realized, though, that God is searching for an original purpose. That God is searching for an original person to serve his magnificent purpose. Not a magnificent person to serve his original plan. It is easy to put that mask on in church. But let's take this mask off and be the Christian that God wants us to be. An original person living for him and being the beacon in this dark world. Some people don't think, you know, the light that they have is bright enough to be a light in this world. Well, I ain't been in God for this long enough. But I tell you, as a sailor, I've done been out there in the middle of the ocean, and it gets black out there. It gets real black out there. But I tell you, this little bitty light about that big, you can see it for miles out. It doesn't matter how much light you got. Share your light. Be that light in the world. The next place I want to touch bases on with this is the mask that we wear at home. In Proverbs 24:3-4, it says, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Here in Proverbs, Solomon is instructing on how to build a home. Not the infrastructure of wood, beams, and bricks, but the structure of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. We have houses being put up every single day, but homes being destroyed even faster due to the lack of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. We are too busy playing house instead of being the house. We are no longer raising our children, but allowing the PlayStation, the Nintendo, and the television to raise our children for us. When something goes wrong, we're quick to blame our teachers, our coaches, even the government on things that they're not doing. What happened to the parents that cared? What happened to the parents that said, you will be at home when the lights come on? What happened to the parents that said, you will respect your elders? The ones that said, you will say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. No, sir, no, ma'am. What happened to the parents that would say, call me when little Johnny is making mistakes or doing what's wrong? We have to stop putting the blame on everyone else and start pointing that finger back at ourselves. Recently, I heard I was at Petco, and I ran into one of my PTA friends. I used to be a PTA president back in the day. And one of the elementary schools in our area was put on lockdown because of a third grader brought a weapon in the school. Excuse me. I was speaking to someone else at work and found out they have a 12-year-old cousin that is having a baby. Turn on the news each and every day. You will see some parent that has failed their children somehow. More than ever before, crime is on the rise. Murder is on the ups. Mothers against fathers, fathers against sons, mothers against daughters. It's all over the news. But during all this, where are the fathers? My wife asked me the other day, hey, hon, do you still get mad when you think about your dad not being there in your life? I had to stop and think for a minute. Look back at her. No. Why? Because God said he's the father to the fatherless. Every part of my life that I ever needed a man, he made sure that someone was there for me. When I was growing up as a young man and I needed that father figure, he put my pop up there. He was the man that would pull that strap off if he needed to. You know, and just guide me and show me what a man's supposed to be like. He went to work every morning. He was there for his grandkids and his kids and stuff. He put my pop up there. When I got a little bit older and I was wanting to get into sports or something else, he put men there that can teach me how to play football or teach me how to be a Boy Scout or whatever the case was. As I got older, I started having teachers that would guide me on my way of life. Came in the military, he pulled somebody. He pulled several people for me to help guide my career in the Navy. So no, I'm not mad. I'm actually saddened for him. Because the man that I've become, he didn't get to see. He just see the results. He didn't see how I got there. He didn't see the struggles that helped me become who I am. He didn't get to help put his hand out and reach for me when I fell. I look at my boys now and my daughters. And as a father, that hurts. That hurts. Fathers, God said he is the father to the fatherless. That wasn't his get out of jail free card. That didn't mean that you don't have to do your job or slack at your responsibilities. We are teaching our young men to be just quitters. If something gets too tough, then do something else. We need to teach them how to stick it out even when times are tough. Teach them if life gives you a lemon, then make lemonade. We need to break this cycle. We need to teach them that a true man's character is not built when all is well, but how he overcomes adversity. We need to teach our young men the proper way of respecting women, how to open a door for them, requesting permission for a little girl's parents to take her out. Our boys are watching us, and what we show them now is what they will become later. Teach them that God made man the superior being in the house to be the protector, not to be the abuser to those who are inferior to him. If God blessed you with a child, you need to take care of your responsibilities. Raise them. Don't hope that someone else is going to do it for you. Wives, mothers, I thank God every single day for you. Because I know if it wasn't for these women, where would this world be today? I know if it wasn't for my mama's prayers and tears, I probably wouldn't even be living right now. Wives, mothers, you got the biggest responsibility in the world. You're the glue that holds us all together and keeps us all tight. However, ladies, we need to teach our young ladies how to be young ladies. Teach them that they have more to offer than just their bodies. In Proverbs 31:10 through 31, it gives a list of qualities of a virtuous wife. I'm not going to read all of them, but I do want to touch on a couple of them. The heart of a husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She is like a merchant ship. She brings her fruit from afar. Granted, all you got to get it from is Walmart. But still. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion to her maidservants. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all of her household is clothed with scarlet. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she will be praised. That's a virtuous woman. When I look out into this crowd today, I see many virtuous wives. I see many virtuous women. But when we look over this list, we need to be using this list to help develop our young ladies to become better young ladies. We need to use this list to teach her how to support her man, how to raise her children, and how to keep her household tight. We need to explain to our young ladies what is important in a man. The things he must have. A house. Let me change this up real quick. A house. A job. A car. Respect for you or her. And love for Jesus. However, If he has a house, a job, a car, and lacks respect for her, or doesn't have Jesus in her heart, she don't need him. Children, just one more note for you. I know some of you think you don't need no one else. Or you know everything, or you just don't need your parents no more. But your parents need you as much as you need them. They have joy when you have victories. And they are saddened when you don't achieve what you set out to achieve. I got to witness this firsthand this week. It was awesome. I did the Special Olympics this past, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, over here at St. Mary's. And I had to I was a sponsor or a chaperone for one of the athletes. And he was about 7 years old. And he did a run, a jump, and a throw. The first event he was in was a throw. Hey, I got boys at this age, so I'm able to coach this stuff, you know. It's pretty cool. So he's sitting here. He had his mom here, his daddy there, his grandparents, both sets of grandparents there. Wow. But everybody was there for him, and it was cool. But the first event he went through was a throw. And he's trying to throw it left hand and just couldn't pull it off. So I seen his dad come over there, knelt down to him. Come here, buddy. You know you can do this. We done worked on this. You'll be okay. Try it with your right hand this time, though. And that guy, the kid, whined and threw it. And it went three times as far as it did. But he was still sad because what they did was they took the average of both your throws, and he did it. Son, it's okay. It's okay. You just keep on going. You got another event. Let's keep on going. He went to his next event where he was racing. Boy, some of them kids are fast. But he lined up on there, and they had the gun, pow, and he took off. He's running. I made a mistake at that moment. I'm at the end. I'm like, yeah. Go. He stops. And he was actually in the lead at that point. And when me and the other chaperones were sitting here cheering him on, he actually stopped and cost him his win. And he cried on that one. And I felt really bad. You know, I went and gave him a hug. I'm sorry, dude. I didn't mean. But then this final one was the standing long jump. And I got to see this kid that took this stride and he soared and landed. And everybody else tried to come and do the same. Nah, this kid knew how to jump. And he got so excited because I guess this is been his hardest thing to be able to do ever. But he was able to finally pull it off and bring it all at this one day. And he was so excited. And his dad had tears in his eyes. Shoot, I even had tears in my eyes. What can I say? To see this kid pull off something that he's been working off all year to do, it was awesome. So yes, kids, your parents do take joy in your victories. And we are saddened when you don't achieve what you wish to achieve. As you see, this mask that we wear at home is not for show, but to conceal and hide the responsibilities that we have to our families and to God. But when we remove remove this mask, whether we are a mother or father, and focus on building a home, not just playing house, we will once again reclaim our children and our future. For this final place I want to touch on, I have to do it quickly, is Romans 12 and 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Christians are not called to be conformed to this world with its behaviors or its customs, which is usually selfish and corrupting. Many Christians decide that these behaviors is off limits to them. This got me thinking. With this election upon us, I get a kick out watching these different candidates and their personal philosophies on this new America. I want to know how they feel about incorporating God's philosophy in this America. The government in general for the past 20 years has been so focused on removing God from every part of America. Yet each candidate always says, well, God bless America. But in their actions, they're damning our country. For once, I would like to see someone actually say, it is time to put God first. Have they not yet realized every step further from God they have taken, the more corrupt our country has become? They have replaced prayer in school with guns. So what? Are they more scared of a revival than a shootout? They have taken prayer out of school, took in God and we trust off the new coming money, and taken it off our federal buildings. But this country was founded on God. They'd rather teach us on this Big Bang theory than for God so loved the world. As a people not speaking out, it's a mask. It's us conforming to this world and accepting what they have decided. You know, it's pretty sad when it's okay for me to curse my kids, but I have to go in a private place to bless my kids. Christians, we are to be the light of this world and salt of this earth. If he is our light unto our foot and lamp unto our feet, the world needs to know there's reality in serving a true and living God. One last thought. There was a songwriter that once wrote, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." Are we mere singers of God's words, or are we doers? Amen.
He started with a verse in Corinthians that said, "For now we see in a mirror dimly." We don't have an accurate image of who we are. We carry, when we stand before the mirror, or when we think about ourselves, the perceptions that run through our mind are often based on the pain that we've experienced in the past. But that's not God's picture of us. God's view of us is not beholden to our experiences, to our painful experiences, to our painful memories. He's the one who created us. He's the one who has the accurate image of who we are. He's the one who has built us for a specific purpose. Last night, Brandon had a dream that goes to the very heart of what Terrence was talking about. I love it when God does this. Brandon, would you?
I get a lot less sleep than I used to. It's kind of funny. I asked the Lord before I went to bed to give me some stuff for you guys this morning, because He's been doing that lately, and I might as well get you guys to benefit from it. But I woke up to this picture of a giant model train layout. You ever seen one of those museums where they have all these trains running around in all the different directions? And the person who was running it called me around the corner and said, "Come on, stand over here." And I ended up at the control panel of this thing. And there's tracks everywhere, and there's trains running all around it. And I noticed some are, you know, there's an end here, and there's a branch here, and there's a loop around this. And the sense I had was this person, I think it was the Lord telling me, saying, "There's a track just for you. And there's something specific that I called you to follow. Each of those tracks is different, and each one is created by the builder of this train set with you in mind. You don't have to mold yourself onto somebody else's track. You do need God to show you which track is yours, and to choose to get on board and follow Him to where He has you to go. But there is a specific thing for you that He's created in that layout that we call life."
Please stand. God has created a track just for you. We don't have to follow someone else's track. We don't even have to build it. We only have to ask God to show us what track is the one for us. If you feel like you're off track, there's a God here who's just waiting. He's eager. He's anxious. He desperately wants you to seek His response when you ask Him, "Where's my track?" What? And where am I going? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the message that was delivered today. And I thank You for the many and creative ways that You choose to speak to Your people. Father, I just pray that this day, that Your hand would fall upon each of us. Instill within our hearts this little thing, this desire to simply look to You and ask, "Where's my track?" And simply look to You so that we can fully understand the accurate picture of who we are. It's not what we see in ourselves. It's not what we think of ourselves. But it is what You say we are. And so, Holy Spirit, come upon us. I pray that we would be more determined to seek after You, to find out how You see us,
and what track you have built for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. If any of this speaks to you and you're looking for some prayer, we have ministers up here. We're eager to pray for you over this to help kind of reaffirm what I've just prayed, to help. But I'll just simply stand with you as you seek after this thing, this track, the new image, the accurate image of who you are. So if so, you're free to come forward now. You're also free to go back. And we do have the snack and yak set up in the sunroom this morning as well. With that, you are dismissed.
Sometimes I feel the rain from the twilight of the day. Watch the world fade away. Through all the stains of time, in a far corner of my mind, all the dreams I left behind, you'll find. But tonight, I'm gonna live in your world, where the stars come out and find you beautiful. Yeah, tonight, I wanna live in your world, where the stars come out and call you beautiful.
I bring you my heart, I bring you my praise, I bring you my broken dreams I've lost along the way. I lift up my voice, I lift up my hand, I lift up moments in my life that I don't understand. And I lay it at the cross, where I'm surrounded by your grace, and I marvel at the wonder of your love. And I stand in
What happened to that other set?
Don't switch mics. Terry. Don't switch mics up there. Everybody. Make sure everybody keeps their own mic. I brought an extra one and put it over there. There's an extra microphone on your side now. Two? Yeah, switch over to that.
You want him to switch?
Yeah, switch to the corded mic.
You want me to stay on this one?
Don't touch it. Watch
it. You got me on this one?
Yeah, you're fine. Lou, what? Tap on your mic. No, just one person. Paul, you wait. Lou, go ahead. Okay.
You can come up and then stay there. Don't mess around. Luke, that's the wrong mic for you.
Yeah, probably. It's the wrong mic for me?
Yeah.
Which one should I have?
Try another one.
What? This one?
No, not that one. Try Liz's.
Try this. Try this one? This one? This one. Number three.
You live switch.
Who?
You two switch.
She wants. Say names.
Liz. And Lou. Switch mics.
We just did. I have number three.
I don't want to trip over there.